Today's scripture reading is from Romans 12, 4 through 10. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the encourager in encouragement, the giver in sincerity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. The good news that I have for you today is that you are gifted. No, I don't need to see your SAT score. It doesn't have to do with your transcript or your GPA. The Apostle Paul reminds us in this section of Romans that each of us has been given gifts. So if you don't think you have anything to offer, you would be incorrect. Each of us has been given gifts. Who among us doesn't want to be considered gifted, right? The star student, the best. I'm super glad to accept my identity as gifted. Maybe if we're gifted, we'll also be rich and healthy too. And if we're gifted, we'll get promoted. I mean, I'm all for gifted. But here's the problem. Just like in the past in this series, we've talked about when it comes to who we are, very good, beloved, the root of our giftedness doesn't start with us. It starts with God. In the version of the doxology we sing every week at this very service, we sing, "Praise God, the source of all our gifts." God is the one who gives us the gifts that we have. And God doesn't skip anybody. The gift of life, the gift of the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. The gift of aptitude for numbers or words or working with our hands. The gift of presence, the gift of faith, the gift of leadership, the gift of music, the gift of encouragement, the gift of helping, the gift of art, the gift of athletics, the gift of organizing. A passion for helping kids or building things or planning projects or making quilts. It's not random. It's a gift. And it's from God. And we can develop gifts, or else all the piano teachers would be out of business, right? We can develop gifts. That's our part of what God is calling us to do. And we can also choose to ignore them as well. We can shine our light, or we can hide it under a bushel basket. But I'm here to tell you, in my part of the service, where you wouldn't want me to cook or to sing, I'm here to tell you, gifts are part of who we are, and God is implicated in it. The spoiler alert that I'm bringing today is that this is not a passage that just applauds human giftedness and sends you home. It's not just designed to make ourselves pat ourselves on the back and feel good about being gifted and go to lunch later. This passage is about what it means to be a disciple. This part of Paul's letter to the church in Rome is the part about where he tells us how Christians are supposed to live. There's no highfalutin theology in this part of Romans, chapter 12. He's taking care of that earlier in the letter. There's nothing about justification by grace through faith. There's nothing explicit about God in this part. He assumes that you have heard all that already. You have read it already in the early part of Romans that comes before this. The part about how we humans tried and tried to keep the law and we found we could not. About how we tried and tried to just be good and please God that way and could not. About how we could not climb up to God and impress God with our credentials. So God reached down to us and reached out to people who were on the margins. People who would never be a part of Abraham's line, which is how you sort of got in before this. People like us, by the way. If you're not Jewish, you're Gentile. God reached out and down and over and through Christ, did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. And this gift of life is not through our earning it or paying for it. It's a gift given because of who God is. And we open that gift through faith. Paul has outlined all that God has done and even reassured us that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord because of what God's done. Nothing. So now, Romans 12 tells us how we're supposed to live because of all of that. If you don't know what a disciple is supposed to do or how we're supposed to act, Romans 12 is one of the places you can go to find out. If you don't like my preaching, which is nearly every Sunday about discipleship and what it is and how to do it and how hard it is and how I wish I didn't have to do it, you could go right to the source in Romans 12. Because of everything God has done, because of all that, Paul says this is what we're supposed to do and the way we're supposed to live. So our reading started at verse 4, so I'm going to start at verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. Whenever Paul says, therefore, pay attention, because Paul is saying, I did all that work, and therefore, I need you to do this. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, because of all that, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, on the basis of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And then verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. And then we hear verse 4. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ. See what I mean? It's not just about your gifted congratulations. It's about using your giftedness as a disciple. What God has done in Jesus Christ has changed everything. And if we would call ourselves Christians or followers of Christ, what God has done has changed how we look at the world. We must be transformed. It changes what we see as greatness, what we mean by power, how we define success. It changes how we spend our time and our money. And how we use our gifts and our talents. I do not think you are here today by accident. I don't think you're here today because you couldn't think of anywhere else to be. I don't think the folks that are worshiping with us online are here because there was nothing more entertaining in their news feed, so they settled on us. I think that if you're here, you're here because you have heard that still small voice. Something about Jesus has drawn you to this place. Maybe there's a hole in your very good, beloved, child of God heart that is filled by Jesus and his love. And maybe you're not sure about all of it, the fine print, the particulars. But if you came here looking for Target, you missed it by a couple blocks. If you came here looking for a Walmart, you're going to be disappointed. I think you're here because you are claimed and have been redeemed. and are deeply loved as you are beyond your wildest imagining, and also because you are called to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Do not be conformed to this world. And the world will tell you it's entirely normal to sacrifice yourself for smaller things and lesser things than what Jesus is asking for. The world will whisper to you about what's normal. And the world will tell you that all this religious effort, all this altruism, all this loving God and loving neighbor is a waste of time. The world is going to tell you that death and violence and hate and brokenness are what's normal. And that cannot be questioned. But I say to you, do not be conformed to this world that tells you that whatever gifts you have are not worth anything. After all, what could you do with some vanilla extract? Tastes terrible. Be transformed. Do not be conformed, be transformed. Will Willimon preached on this text for Convocation Sunday when I was young and had a big perm, and I think it was 1990, a very good year. And I crawled in there to chapel, as you do when you're like a sophomore or whatever, over it, sort of thinking that Eric Sayers guy was interesting. And Will preached on this passage, and one of the things he said was this: when the power of life appears in the form of this Jew from Nazareth named Jesus, systemic abnormality, what the world says is normal, systemic abnormality to which we're always in danger of becoming accustomed, is thrown into utter disarray. I tell you, this is the power that's let loose here on a Sunday morning when we're at our best. It is the power that summons each one of us by name to submit to transformation. As Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Paul also says, by the way, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. Jesus doesn't want to make you good. Jesus wants to make you new. Jesus wants to make you his. So when Paul says that we have gifts and you're gifted, they aren't like things just to know about yourself and be pleased or be horrified, however you feel about your gifts. They're not just things to know about yourself, like your Enneagram number or your zodiac sign or those BuzzFeed quiz things where it asks you what your ideal porch looks like. Gifts are to be used. And if you are a follower of Jesus, they are to be used in the name of Christ. Our Glenmar conviction as a church is if we're blessed, we are blessed to be a blessing. And this passage in Romans reminds us it's not just a blessing in the abstract. We're called to be a blessing because Jesus. We're called to be a blessing because of what we are convinced of about what it means to be the body of Christ. We're called to use our gifts in and for the body of Christ, which is the church. We're called to be a part of the body of Christ. That's what Paul says. Gifted, part of the body of Christ, united, individually members of it. We beloved, very good, and called to shine the light of Christ people. Now, I can hear it now. Pastor, are you saying that we're not being a Christian when we use our gifts outside of the church? Of course I'm not saying that. You are called to be the hands and feet of Christ wherever you are sent. We have Glen Martians being the hands and feet of Christ at children's shelters and in public schools and in hospitals and in offices and in far-flung places like Guatemala. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing it as an ambassador for Christ, shining light in his name. But we're doing it because we have been transformed. And so the way to stay connected with that is to also do our part to use our gifts to build up the body of Christ, the church. It's not an either or, it's a both and. So that we can show and share the love of Jesus, so we can grow disciples and grow as disciples, so that together we can serve the world. We do what we do and we use our gifts, not because we're nice. Anybody can be nice. It's worse than that. You are God's. You're not just nice, you're God's. Because of God's amazing love, because of Christ's overwhelming mercy, because the Holy Spirit sends us and calls us and helps us grow, that is why we use our gifts. We come here to this place to be reoriented about that, as to who really is Lord of all. We make the claim that that nobody from Nazareth trampled the power of sin and death, and he calls us to take up our cross and follow him. This is the place we are reminded as we go forth to serve who we are and who we serve and why we serve. Back in the day, I was preaching about this building when it was new. And I said, I think I was preaching on Jesus telling us to fish for people. And I said, the church is the Bass Pro. Like, the fish may be out at the Longgate Parkway. They're probably at the Target. Sometimes fish come in here, too. But the church is the Bass Pro. So if you want to be a fisher person in the name of Jesus, you can't skip the Bass Pro part. And here's something amazing. When we use our gifts together, especially as part of the body of Christ, we will find that amazing things happen. And I just loved Jen's children's moment because it's a perfect one. Like ingredients that come together to make something even more special. Like lines of music that come together to make a symphony. When we work together and use our gifts together in the body of Christ, we will find that we can do things that seemed impossible through Christ who strengthens his body. The marks of the Christian life, they're laid out in Romans 12, and I commend the entire chapter to you. It only gets better after the part we read. But what does that look like in real life? Well, at Glenmar, some of the marks of Christian life look like commitments that we ask members to make. Ways not to be conformed, but to be transformed. This is how it's done, okay? One, worship. Bass Pro. You will forget who you are because the world keeps telling you otherwise. We come here for a spiritual checkup that goes, oh yeah, right. That's who I am. That's what I'm about. Worship. We used to say, unless you're sick, working, or out of town, and thanks to the magic of the internet, you can worship with us from out of town. Many people do. Hello to folks on the beach today. Worship. Number two, praying every day. Because the world is going to tell you something different about what it means when you have to go to a funeral. The world is going to say, that's it. Death has the last word. What, another funeral? Praying every day keeps you in communication with the person that calls you beloved, gifted, very good. So worship, praying every day. Three, being in a small group. This is how you interact with other members of the body. It's also how you learn to love people. You know, if someone comes here and they don't talk to anybody and they don't form relationships with anybody, they're not going to love anybody here and they're not going to know that feeling of being loved. Not really. They're also not going to get into any arguments either. But you got to learn how to love, and being in a small group is one way to learn. Our church is kind of big, and we're kind of hybrid right now, so it can be hard to know where to fit in. Small groups are a way to connect, to be transformed, to grow closer to Christ and to each other. Worship, praying, being in a small group. 4, giving financially to the church as an expression of who you are and what you believe. As an expression of who and whose you are. As an expression of gratitude. An expression of commitment. An expression of non-conformity. Praise God. Worship, praying, being in a small group, giving financially. Last one. Serving in a ministry that is in line with your gifts. We have teams that help the church run. Without them, there'd be no Bass Pro. And, you know, fewer fish in the boat. Teams that help the church run, like trustees and finance and stewardship and staff parish and our ELC board and our leadership board. We have teams that help with worship or tech or communications. We have teams that help with music ministry and children and youth and administration behind the scenes and caring and prayer ministry. To be a part of the body of Christ, you're gifted. And we're called to use these gifts. Serving in a ministry in line with your gifts. And part of that, doing an act of service and mission in line with your gifts. Things like the Day One Shelter, Habitat for Humanity, helping with Journey to Bethlehem, going on a mission trip. Now, the world is going to tell you a few things. They're going to say, that's abnormal. What do you mean you went to a pool party for your church? Like before school started. Like, that's weird. What do you mean you have Bible study? What's the name of that group you're in? Oh, Assorted Nuts is the name of your group? That's abnormal. But here's the truth of it is, that is where life is. Transformation. Be transformed. Think about it. If you say to a seed, hey, guess what? God has some big plans for you. In order for that to happen, you need some soil and some sunshine and some fertilizer and some water, okay? And just trust me on this and work with me. You're going to be transformed. Doing these things helps us grow as disciples and become even more the people that we're called to be. Do not be conformed, be transformed. Little seed, be transformed. Caterpillar, be transformed. Now, this is the time, as fall approaches, when we think about people who are going to serve in various capacities for the next year. And this is a pretty angsty time for my clergy colleagues. They get a little grumpy this time of year. And they say, you know, it's always the same people. And they seem to be on the same committees every year, and we even rotate the same people through the different committees. And at first I thought this was a crisis, but then I remembered a conversation that I had with one of our saints that went on to glory last fall. I was talking with Paul Behrens. And Paul happened to be on like 4 committees of the church. He was lay leader. He was on mission board. He was on SPRC and probably some other things that I didn't even know he was on. And I was feeling kind of bad about it. I was like, Paul, oh man, you know, I'm so sorry that you're doing so much for the church. It's just that you're so gifted. And like every time you're in a room, you just make it better. You just know exactly. And he said, Mandy, I love serving in our church. My favorite thing is to be lay leader because you get to know a little bit about everything. I love knowing about everything that's going on. It is one of the most fulfilling things to me to get to do this. And deploy me wherever you need me. Give me the hardest job. And I realized, A, Paul, while always wonderful, probably was not always quite like that. And he came to learn through his process of transformation, through these practices of discipleship, he came to learn at some point along the way about the fulfillment that comes from using your gifts and going all in for your faith. It wasn't that we were twisting Paul's arm. Not at all. He felt called to it. And the more you use your gifts for God, the more you may find that you want to do. And what I can say to you is, that's what transformation does to you. So you've been warned, right? God calls all of us to be transformed. We're already using our time, money, loyalty, talents, and gifts and priorities following someone or something. And if you don't know what it is, look at your bank statement and look at your calendar. My job is to say, don't listen to the world. The truly normal thing is for a disciple of Jesus to follow Jesus, to make those same faithful choices that Paul made about time and money and priorities, because the body of Christ needs all of us. It's sort of a ask not what your church can do for you, ask what you can do for your church kind of sermon. Or maybe ask not what Jesus can do for you, ask what you can do for Jesus because of what Jesus has already done. You're gifted. And if you don't think you are, see me after the service. We'll talk about it. You are gifted, and those gifts are for using. And when you do, the church will be blessed. And through the church's blessing, our neighbors will be blessed, and the poor will be blessed. And here's the most amazing thing. You'll be blessed too. Amen.